Well, hello, friends. Welcome to Discover Watermark. In just a few short minutes, we're going to tell you the history of Watermark Community Church here in Dallas, Texas, and tell you a little bit about our vision and values. My name is David Peniel, and I am not here alone. I'm joined today by our lead pastor, Blake Holmes. Blake, say hello to everybody.
Hello, friends.
And then our executive pastor, John Cox.
Hey, hello out there.
All right, guys. Well, let's get started. John, why don't you? You've been around here for a long time. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the name Watermark and the history of this church?
So Watermark started in the fall of 1999. And for the first 7+ years, it met in a variety of locations around Dallas before moving to our current location in the fall of 2007. The name Watermark actually has two meanings. The first is a watermark is a sign of authenticity and genuineness. And those are two things we really hope and want to describe our body and the people who attend Watermark. And then second, you know, whenever there's been a flood and the waters recede, it leaves a mark, a watermark. And so one of the things we hope is that wherever we go, that we would leave a lasting mark on the people we come into contact and the interactions that we have.
So if you want to be a part of an authentic and real group of people, and if you want to leave a mark on the people who are part of your life or of your city, that's what we're striving to be. And so if you're considering joining us, that's the kind of people we are just by our name. But we want to tell you a little bit more. I mentioned earlier our vision and our values. We want to share like the vision statement that is kind of like our North Star, like the highest calling of our church. This is our reason for being, the thing that we're always going to be striving for and seeking in everything we do. So Blake, you know, that is what a vision statement is, but would you share with everybody exactly how we define ourselves and what we strive for in our vision statement?
Sure, and happy to do that. And what I would say first is that this isn't our vision statement, but this is the vision that I believe that Jesus gave every church. Now, we have put words to it that we think help summarize it, but essentially, what we want to be about is we want to be transformed by Christ to love like Christ. And this really comes from 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15, which says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." And so what you see there is this whole idea is that life transformation begins first in what Christ has done in our hearts. And because of what he has done, we want to love like Christ. We want to love God and love others.
Transformed by Christ to love like Christ. What I love about that statement is Christ is in there twice. He is at the center of everything we do. Blake, would you answer this question real quick? In that first part of that phrase, transformed by Christ, that word transformed, it sounds like something that is in the past tense. Is that something that happens once in our life? Okay, we meet Christ, we're changed, and now we love like him. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I'll do this as briefly as I can, but when the Bible talks about salvation, really you can think about it in holistically in three parts. Just make this really brief. That in one sense, yes, we have been transformed in that we've been declared righteous. So the Bible uses the word justification. We've been declared righteous. It's a legal term, and we're forgiven. And immediately upon which we place our faith in Christ, we are freed from the penalty of sin. But because we still live on earth and we still retain a sinful nature, what happens is that God's Spirit is at work in our lives, and this is called the sanctification process, where we yield to His Spirit, we walk with His people, we read His Word, we seek to obey, and we are being transformed to look like Christ. But the great news is that Jesus, in Philippians 1, we are assured that Jesus, he who began a good work in us, will complete it one day, and one day we'll experience glorification, and we will be exactly as God intended for us to be, and we will no longer be separated by sin, no longer have a sin nature, and our salvation will be complete. We will experience glorification, and we will be with the Father.
Blake, that is a helpful clarification, because you could see that little phrase, you know, show up on our website or somewhere on a screen around our church and think, transformed by Christ to love like Christ. these people have arrived. They have been transformed by Christ. And that's not what we're trying to say with this statement. We are being transformed by Christ. Constantly we're transformed. And as we're talking about discovering Watermark, we want to invite all people who want to be a part of our church to be a part of that sort of what you described as sanctification, that sort of process of becoming more and more like Christ, more and more like the image of the God who created us and who made us. And so that is what we are all about, is being transformed by Christ so that we can love our community, love everyone that we come in contact with, like Christ loved us. So that's our vision statement. Next, I want us to talk a little bit about our core values. And most of our listeners are probably familiar with core values. Almost every organization has core values. But these are our deeply held beliefs. And these are the beliefs. There's just four of them you guys are going to review for us. They inform and guide everything we do as a church, all the decisions that we make, how we interact with one another, how we interact with people who aren't a part of our church. These are our guiding principles, our core values. So we've got four of them. Blake and John, why don't you guys just kind of ping pong back and forth and take us through these?
Sure, I'll take the first one. The first one is simply this, is that we are fully surrendered. And this is just the recognition that we are wholly dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit, which is made available to us through faith in Christ to entirely transform and to continually grow us. So if you think about like John 15:5, where Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So we take that verse at face value, that apart from a transforming work of God's Spirit in our lives made available to us through the grace of Jesus Christ, we can offer nothing of eternal significance or please our Father. And so we start with everything we do, recognizing we want to be fully surrendered to the Spirit of God, because he's the one who ultimately changes hearts.
You know, Blake, when I hear fully surrendered, I hear a lot of humility in that statement of you saying, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And so you're saying, first and foremost, we are a humble people that realize we're wholly ineffective at accomplishing anything apart from God working in and through us. And so we've got to be daily fully surrendered to him. Is that a good summation of it?
I think so. That would certainly be my prayer. And what I would say, David, is, you know, Watermark is not built upon a personality. It's not built upon a program. It's not built upon anyone's gift mix. But it starts with that recognition that we do need to be fully surrendered to the God who changes lives. He's the one who gives us new life, and new life is found in him and him alone.
All right, fully surrendered, core value number one. What's number two, John?
Number two is authentic relationships. And so one of the things that we really want to be true in the Bible, it just talks about how we were to live in the light. And what that means essentially is that God calls us to be a part of a community. And in that community, we need to be transparent. We need to be other-centered. And we just need to share and have an ability to share where we are. You know, so many churches, you feel like you have to pretend to be more godly than you really are, or pretend to be somebody you're not. And we want this to be a place where you can show up as you are. And God accepts you. He loves you. Our community accepts you. Now, the challenge there is that God loves us as we are, but he doesn't want us to stay the way we are. And so being in authentic relationships means that we are coming alongside each other to help each other to grow, to be more like Jesus. That's what he wants. And we need the others around us if we're going to make that happen.
Can I be real with you guys for a second? All of my life, there's one thing that's been consistent. I have wanted to be loved. But something that I've learned as I've gotten older is that I never feel fully loved by another person until I'm fully known by them. And when I heard you talking, John, about authentic relationships, that's what happens when you get into a deep and genuine, open relationship with another believer, is that you realize I'm fully known by this person, and now I really feel loved by them if there's acceptance in that relationship. And that's really our desire for anybody that becomes a member of our body, is that they'd be in, we call them community groups, and that's one place, but also just all throughout our church, we want to know one another and love one another. And so that is a core value of who we are that's marked us for the entire lifespan of this church. So fully surrendered, authentic relationships. Number three is Blake, take it away.
The third one's courageous faith. We live in a time where the claims of Christ are often misunderstood, and we not only declare, but we want to live an unashamed allegiance to the biblical, historical, and orthodox truths of the gospel, no matter the cost. That's what Jesus calls us to. When you read the gospels, what does Jesus say? Hey, pick up your cross and follow me. And so with that comes sacrifice, and we are unashamed in our allegiance to the biblical, historical, and orthodox truths of the gospel. Those are the things that do not change. They don't change because of culture or geography or time or history or circumstance. So you think about what Paul said in Romans 1. I think it captures the essence of this core value of living with a courageous faith, where he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so we want to live with a fully surrendered mindset. We want to live with authentic relationships, but we also want to live with a courageous faith to be the people that God calls us to be.
Man, I think courage is so important in today's day and age because it does feel like more and more it's so easy to be misunderstood. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, people are going to fill in the blanks and think that you're hateful, small-minded, or whatever. And so to say, hey, I am back to core value number one, fully surrendered to Christ, it does take courage. And so I'm glad that we are acknowledging that and making that core to who we are. So we're fully surrendered. We have authentic relationships. We seek to embody a courageous faith. And then what is our fourth core value, John?
You know, the fourth core value is missional living. And what this is centered around is now that we're in a relationship with Jesus and we're living in an authentic community, this is how does it impact every other day of your life? And so so many people think about, you know, putting on their faith on a Sunday, and then they go back to their normal lives. And, you know, nothing could be further from what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to every single day wake up in the morning and say, how do I live an intentional and purposeful life that is really focused on growing in my love for him and in my love for other people? So a missional life is we want to intentionally invest our lives every day to love people and to point people to Jesus.
Man, you know, I said earlier, I've always wanted to be loved. I've also always sought for meaning in my life. And I can say as a testimony that there's been a great amount of meaning and purpose found in following Christ and serving his purposes for my life. Having gotten to serve as a small group leader for students and a leader in a couple other different ministries here, right now in regeneration for students, a recovery ministry for students, there's just been a great sense of purpose and calling and surrendering to what God has called us to do, which is to live for his glory. And so we want to invite anyone who's considering membership in our church, man, don't just, earlier what we talked about, join a community group, but also find a place to serve and to use the gifts that God has given you to point other people to Jesus and to glorify God with your life. Blake, you want to add anything?
I think I'll just close with Colossians 1, where Paul's very clear. He says that Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. And that's my prayer, is that when people come to visit Watermark or belong to this church, they recognize that Jesus Christ has a first place in everything. That's what we're all about.
Well, guys, I hope you heard Jesus Christ first in everything we shared with you today and then all your experiences around Watermark. To summarize, discover Watermark. Watermark is a church by name that strives for authenticity, and we strive to leave a lasting impression. And you heard about our vision statement, that we hope to be a people that are transformed by Christ to love like Christ, and our core values are being fully surrendered, having authentic relationships, courageous faith, and missional living. So what's your next step if you're considering membership at Watermark? I'd like to invite you to participate in our membership class, and you can find out everything about the next steps for our membership class at watermark.org/membership. Very simple, watermark.org/membership, and there you can find out all of your next steps. If you have a question about membership, very simple email address, membership@watermark.org. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and we hope to see you around Watermark sometime soon. Until then, have a great week of worship.